SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Neil Drysdale is going to join us here, hour three at Santa Anita, and our first trip of the new season, I guess, or the last trip of last year. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But, Neil, it's very fortuitous on a sad occasion. I absolutely wanted to talk to you and let you pay tribute to the late David Herensperger. You had such success with him, and it's really a loss to the game.
It really is, because he was very passionate about racing and was consistently involved. He actually one time got me out of a jam. We had sold a bunch of horses to Hong Kong, and the Hong Kong Jockey Club rejected them, and he said, well, I'll step in and take them. So that really helped me out in that position. But I mean, his last horse, he was very game. We brought in a horse from last Group 1 winner. I'm talking about a horse that we brought in from South America called Winning Prize. And he ran consistently well. And then he went back to South America, back to Buenos Aires to be a stallion. But that was part of the deal. That was part of the original deal when we purchased the horse. And then at the present, he's got two horses left, which will obviously run under the estate of one being Majestic Eagle, who's been consistent. He's developing, he's improving all the time, so hopefully next year as a four-year-old we'll have a lot of fun with him. And then we have a young horse, a two-year-old, that is unraced, but I'm really keen on him.
Who's the two-year-old by?
He is by, it's a secret.
Okay. That good stallion, it's a secret.
That stallion is a secret. I never talk about young horses until they've done something.
Well, and you know, I know that you shared him for a while with David Hoffman's, right? He had some success with David.
He did with Dubai Millennium.
Exactly, Dubai Millennium.
That was when he was still married to Jill.
Okay. And I didn't realize that they've been apart a while now, because they raced under David and Jill Herensperger for years.
David.
Okay, I didn't say that. You got it. It's very sometimes there's been a few of those in around racing
around the world.
I brought him up with John too, because of course he's from the Pacific Northwest. He had the home centers, and he also was a big powerboat. Right, the powerboat racing.
Yes, he was in powerboat racing and very successful for about 20 years. And then he moved over to racing and never looked back. I mean, we had a lot of very good horses over the years.
Hoxley Hill.
Yeah, well, it wasn't just Hoxley. There were quite a few of them. Then, won stakes. But he was a rock of a man physically and mentally.
Well, I'm really saddened. And you say about Majestic Eagle, he put Eagle in a lot of names, because I read.
Well, it was because it was Eagle Hardware.
Eagle Hardware, and then a couple of the boats had Eagle in them, and so it was a consistent moniker when it came to his horse as well. It's got to be frustrating, Neil, for veteran trainers, lose an owner like this, and
not frustrating would be the word. It's sad.
Sad is probably better. You're right.
He actually became a very close friend.
Yeah,
and so we would talk every single day. I do. I miss him.
Among a lot of veteran trainers, when you've got owners like this, there's plenty that it's hard to get the new blood. You, however, have had a tremendous year, Neil. I mean, this is as good a year as you've had in recent memory, I would imagine.
Well, we've won quite a few group races.
Yeah.
So, but it bodes for a good year next year because we've got some very nice young horses coming on, and these horses that won group races last year have not been over-raced. So we'll start the year off with running in the American Oaks with California Gold Rush, and ran a filly down in Del Mar the other day called Kodiak West that she looks like she'll the 10 furlongs really suit her. Her first trip was an abomination when she got off the plane, but the run the other day was I was very pleased with that. So we'll run here and there too.
You were not shy about shipping around the country this year either.
Well, that's a whole different subject.
I want you to launch into that.
Well, I'm not sure I've got time because I got another set coming up in a few minutes. So I'm running out of time here, 2 or 3 minutes, and that would take a lot longer as to why people in California have to ship their horses.
Neil, don't be shy because that's
not you. Inferred would be the correct word.
Yes.
As to the reason.
Well, before we go on, let me just say that people think of Fusaichi Pegasus with you always, but we're getting longer in the tooth, and people are forgetting how great Princess Rooney was and the race she ran in the distaff and the first distaff at Hollywood Park that day at 1.25 faster than Wild Again won the classic that day. Your job with Princess Rooney that year was one of the great training jobs I've ever seen in my life. I talked to you in the spring right here at Santa Anita, and you told me, and I'll never forget it, you said she will be at her peak for this new Breeders' Cup in November. And you had her. There are few fillies or mares that ever lived that could have beaten her that day.
No, we did seriously think about running her against the colts in the classic because she had come into the race very well. But most of the fans listening to this probably weren't born then.
That's not true.
Unfortunately.
That's not true.
Anyway, it was very nice of you to bring it up.
No, but she was something. She was. You talked about special. She was beyond.
She peaked really well. Guys, I'm going to have to go because I've got work is coming up.
I appreciate it. Toinette, how's she? She all right?
We had to pull a tooth on her. She had a sore tooth.
I'm going to the dentist today, so I can empathize with Toinette. Think of that.
Unbelievable. Okay. Neil Drysdale, everybody. Thanks so much, Neil. Really appreciate it. One of the greats. One of the absolute legends.
Well, and I mentioned Fusaichi Pegasus. I mean, that's another one of the great training horses. That horse was not exactly, I mean, I want to say kind of a nut, but, I mean, remember the antics he would pull and so forth, and rearing up and throwing riders and so forth. And, you know, the talent was there, but that's the thing about a Neil Drysdale. It's like a great coach in basketball or football or a great manager in baseball. They are able to bring out the best. That's Bob Baffert. I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, people say what makes him, his work ethic. I mean, the guy's a hard worker, which people don't realize. And he's a sharp observer. Bob looks for details of things. I mean, he studied Charlie Whittingham for years. I mean, studied. And I'm telling you, that was a smart thing to do. Because if you're going to study somebody, and that wasn't the only guy Bob Baffert studied, but he particularly watched Whittingham, and that was very, very smart on Bob's part, because you were going to learn an awful lot just being around Whittingham and observing him for sure. So,
and the quarter horse, the quarter horse experience for speed, for gait prowess. I mean, there's so many portions that have been, I think, layers of knowledge and understanding. Lucas, the other example of that, coming out of the, off the quarter horse circuit into the, and really even, you don't think of it, but, certainly Steve Asmussen and his father and Todd Pletcher and his father, the preparation of young horses and particularly getting out of the gate and, and braking with speed. Though you know, you're so far ahead of the game when you've done that.
You know, one of the things I've lamented on your show from time to time is we don't, in horse racing, have an Elias Sports Bureau. So when these people accomplish things, a lot of times we don't even know what they're accomplishing. And I bring that because we know you were talking about it at the start of your show, that this is now 11 Los Alamitos / Hollywood Futurity wins for Baffert, which is the record in that race. And he's won all five at Los Alamitos. Think of that. But I got to thinking earlier this year, when Bob Baffert won his 14th Del Mar Futurity, 14th.
Yep.
What other domination have we seen in the current Grade 1 races that we have in American racing? 14 is the most I could find. The second most now is the 11 by Baffert. And then there are two trainers.
In the Los Al, now the, you know, the cash call.
Right.
The old Hollywood Futurity.
Right. So Baffert has the 14 and the 11, the only other two trainers of the current Grade 1 races that have had similar domination are Dwayne Lucas and Charlie Whittingham. And Lucas won the Del Mar Debutante 9 times, the Chandelier, formerly the Oakley Stakes, 9 times, and Whittingham won the Big Cap, the Santa Anita Handicap, 9 times. No one else I could find has ever won one of our current Grade 1 races as much as 9 times or more, which puts into perspective what Baffert has done with the 14 Del Mar Futurities and 11 Los Alamitos Hollywood Futurities.
Yeah, it's and of course there's a lot of overlap in the Hollywood / Los Al Futurity and Del Mar. But I read through that list earlier this morning of the Los Al Futurities. I mean, it's a scary list. I mean, virtually almost all of them are stallions and significant stallions. There's even, you know, it's funny. They had the Classico de Caribe, and I only mentioned the big win by the feature called Kukulkin.
Easy and, for you to say.
Yeah, exactly. The Mexican. And even there, there's Baffert's influence because he's by point determined.
Wow. Think of it. Wow. I mean, that's just the Mexican Triple Crown winner.
That's the Mexican, And in fact, there were two of the there was also the winner of the Caribbean, the Cup, that Jala Jala or Ala Ala, Hala Hala, also a point determined.
Well, it's funny that you were going through Bob's Los Alamitos Cash Call Futurity winners and the most recent ones, and you said McKenzie, and I'm thinking, well, to show you the domination of Baffert, he got disqualified in the race and still won it because he had Solomini, who finished first.
By the way, and we'll ask Baffert about Solomini, who looks like he's ready for the Malibu, heading for the Malibu, and Baffert has got 5 3-year-olds under consideration for the Malibu.
Including McKenzie's under consideration for that.
Right, so. Axeman. As well. And then there was actually one that was a real, really late to the party. That Soul, I think that's another, oh, for goodness sakes, Soul, I'm going to forget the last name now, but I'm anxious to hear from him what his thoughts are. Soul, Super Soul. There you go. Super Soul. Super Soul, Nero, McKenzie, Axeman, and Solomini are the five that he's looking at.
Now, I was talking about Drysdale's work with Fusaichi Pegasus, who was something of a head case. Nero is kind of a, you know, not your exactly normal throw. There's a ton of talent with Nero, but he's pretty quirky, that horse. I mean, he's one that has to be ridden in a very special manner and so forth, and Talamo is kind of learning the keys with Nero, which makes him dangerous. I don't think we've seen anywhere close maybe to the best of Nero, who's actually had some controversy, like his first race at Del Mar in his career debut. It was controversy because it looked like he had the race won as a big favorite, and he pulled himself up, and people were accusing the rider of quitting riding and so forth. But, I mean, this Nero, I mean, it reminds me of Ferdinand. Ferdinand was that type that he would hit the front. Buckpasser was like that. There's a couple of, you know, then, horses that when they think the race is over, they get to the front. You've got to time it. Buckpasser here at Santa Anita Joe Burnham, who was an usher at my wedding across the street here in 1983, when Tracy and I were married at the Santa Anita Church, Joe Burnham, the only Eclipse Award-winning cinematographer, has tape of buck pastures, which they had to try to work him with relays, because once he would pass a horse at a work, he'd pull himself up. So in order to try to get a good work, they'd have to put, like, station horses at various parts of the track.
Dickie Small did that with Broadbrush.
Exactly. And but it was very hard to orchestrate that, believe me. It's like,
sure,
when you watch these films of races, when they try to stage things in racing with horses, well, the horses aren't exactly always that cooperative. So, but Buck Passer, of course, with the Chicken Flamingo, that's tremendous footage. I'm sure that's on YouTube. But if you go back to the Buck Passer Flamingo, it's one of the most amazing races you'll ever see, because Buck Passer, it takes the lead and then gets passed by, like, I want to say 10, 11, or 12 horses in the stretch and re-rallied and won. I mean, you can't believe what he does in that race. And that reason that's called the Chicken Flamingo is it was like a 12-horse field with win-only betting. That was the domination of Buck Passer at that 12-horse field with win-only betting. And that's, they were saying the track was chicken to do that, and that's why it's called the Chicken Flamingo.
Well, that's funny. Speaking of those of some of those historic type runnings, got a big reaction, and I want to I actually want to take a second. Tony's conversation Thursday about being here and coming first time here with My Juliet in the Las Flores, and actually subsequently a couple of other starts where she didn't run as well, but provoked a really kind of some fun responses. And on Saturday, had the nicest thing. I was hanging around the paddock at Los Al, and a player kind of flagged me down and wanted to talk. And a big fan of Tony's and a regular listener to the show, a guy by the name of George Mason. And so nice. He had got, when they gave away the Los Al belt buckles, like the rodeo style belt buckle, Los Al had a giveaway, and he got me one, which was, I was really tickled. And it's funny because when Abel Tasman won the Starlet 3 years ago, and they gave one of the things, part of the trophy, The trainer gets a belt buckle, and it's a big rodeo, you know, basically coming off the quarter horse side and the, you know, kind of the cowboy mentality, and it's a jewel encrusted, it's a beautiful, really a nice trophy and a twist. You know, the owner gets a crystal vase, and the trainer gets and I suppose the jock gets one too, gets the belt buckle. And Simon Callahan looked at it like, what is this and what do I do with it? It made me laugh, you know, that Simon was like staring at it, and I said, it's a belt buckle. He says, oh, all right, you know, with his British accent. And so next thing I know, George Mason gave me one, and I am just delighted. And he's got a collection, 130 goggles. From jockeys, and we're going to get one for Tony from him.
I wanted to mention that I was struck by the juxtaposition of Tony Black. That was fascinating what he was talking about, coming out to ride My Juliet in the Las Flores handicap and going through that into the windshield, and that his head, he said the photo, that his head is blown. But the juxtaposition is, this is the fellow fighting for the jockey concussion protocol. No wonder
exactly.
He's doing that.
Exactly right. that's our man, and Bob Baffert making his way, and we were just. Come here. Good morning.
Are we on?
We are. We're on the radio.
Well, that's good. How's John? Is John filling you in on everything?
John is giving us a historic.
He hasn't jinxed me, has he yet?
I try not to.
All right.
Why? Because you're favored so often? Because he makes you the morning line favorite?
Hey, John is like, put the first. I'd rather be the favorite than be 10-1.
Exactly, right? That's what they say. You were going to be the favorite, and you were odds on, I suppose, to sweep Saturday at Los Al. You love going over there. That's a good place for
you.
It's
my home. Right? You know, I have a lot of fond memories from Los Al, and unfortunately, Brad McKenzie is not there. We really miss him, and you can tell the difference with him not being there.
He introduced me to you there when I was there for the Quarter Horses one night. Yeah. He said, I'd like you to meet Bubba. And I thought, well, I'll probably never see this guy ever again. And look at this. Guy turns into the greatest trainer of all time. Thoroughbred trainer.
That's Wayne Lucas's fault. He paved the way. He opened the door. He opened the floodgates for us to try it over here. But, you know, I just remember when I was younger, you know, I wanted to be a jockey at Los Alamitos, and I rode a little bit there. And I won a couple of races. It was fun. But then when I realized that, you know, Bobby Adair, who was my mentor at the time, the great jockey,
really great.
He told me I was in Arizona riding. He says, you know what? You should quit. You should. Really? I go, yeah, you should quit. You should quit. So I quit the next day.
So he was a great jockey, but also a great judge of riding talent.
Exactly. He knew. And so... He says, because I was going to stay riding in Arizona. I said, you don't ride here. You'll get killed if you stay here. You know, but he told me, he says, because he asked me, he says, you going to come out to Los Al? I said, I'm not good enough. Well, he told me, if you don't think you're good enough, then you need to quit. You should just quit. And he said, if you can't be the best, if you don't think you're the best at what you do, then just quit. And I thought about it, and the next day I went in there, I had one more to ride. I rode it, and I just quit that day. And I gave all my stuff away. I should have kept it.
You gave away your tack?
I gave all my tack away to some riders there, like my saddle and everything. Who would have known, you know? There was no eBay then.
Think of what you could have sold it for now.
I know it.
Did it have a little BB on the...
could be in the Kentucky Derby Museum or
absolutely.
Something like that.
Absolutely.
Be there in the Wayne Lucas. By the way, the Wayne Lucas Derby Museum, what they did for him is incredible. I mean, you talk about impressive now.
When did I haven't seen it.
They just did it. I was during the Breeders' Cup. They opened it up, and if you're, it's a must see. It's upstairs, and when I heard about it that he gave his trophies and everything,
yeah.
I thought, well, they're just going to stick it in a corner there, and you see, but they did a massive. It's a really nice, and they did a great job, and it's pretty nice that Wayne. And they had a little party, and we went there. We spoke at his family was there, and I said the only problem he had his kids there, his grandkids there, and I said the only problem with this is that I told the grandkids, "There's your you can't put them on sell them on eBay, man. There's your inheritances in the Derby Museum, you know." But it is it's a must see. I didn't get to see all of it, but it's pretty impressive.
Cool.
And that Wayne, you don't realize. He's won. I remember I went to his house. It was about 8 years ago, 10 years ago, and he showed me to his basement where he lived, out there in Kentucky, and I thought I had a lot of trophies.
A few trophies,
I thought I was looking pretty good there. I saw his, and I go, wow, man, he's really, And those are the days when they gave a lot of the good trophy. Now
here we go. Here it comes. Here comes the trophy lament.
They give you glass. I don't want glass. I want silver. I want I want metal.
That was the best when you.
But now they give you the crystal glass.
Well, Naira still gives you. You always
Naira
say
still
gives you the nice silver.
They're on the edge there. But they still give you the good trophies, or the platters, the cookie plate. But it's I think it's very important, But it was pretty impressive. So if you ever make sure that people when
next
you go
next time
there,
over, they're expanding that. The museum. They got a grant or something,
well, they did that. They put a lot of money into that thing.
Then that was maybe part of it. I did see that they were expanding.
It was pretty impressive. I was really impressed by it.
Is there any kind of a trophy for the trainer of a Triple Crown, for winning a Triple Crown, that the trainer gets?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Farrell, there wasn't one. They made one, and then they made they changed the design. They made a different Triple Crown. So we just got that. It's a smaller I actually like the smaller. It's really, it's nice.
Did you get, you got the small inverted triangle?
Yes.
That's the coolest.
That was like, I like the smaller.
It's so cool.
The other one's really, really big. It's still beautiful, but it's pretty big.
That, that triangle trophy was just, I didn't think we needed to change the Triple Crown trophy, honestly, but what are you going to do?
Well, we didn't think about the trophy until after you win the race.
Exactly.
First, you got to win the race, and you talk about the trophy. But I used to hate that every time I see that trophy before go for a Triple Crown.
Yep.
And I finally got the. I would never touch it, and I finally got to hold it in my hands. You know. That,
Wow. Well, on that topic, let's talk about the 2 year olds, and then we'll kind of merge back to the year on the calendar basis, and then look ahead Saturday. We'll start with the boys because chronologically, the more I watch the replay, the more impressive that performance was by Improbable.
No, you know what? He's always been a, you know, forwardly moving horse, and he I remember when Elliot Walden, when he sent him out, he said, "Man, I'm really going to send you a really good one." They really liked him, you know, and so well, that's great. You know, maybe he'll be the next Justify, like. And then when they told me his name was Improbable, that's a great, and that's a perfect name for it. It's very improbable. He's going to win the Triple Crown, you know. So, but they he kept asking, when are you going to bring him? I said, well, as soon as Justify leaves Del Mar, I'm going to put him right in that stall. I'll put him in that stall, and we brought him in there. And but he's just done everything, you know, right. He's handled everything well. We shipped him. He won. But the thing about him, he's not – you know, he's a little bit smaller than, you know, he's not as heavy as, you know, Justify was this big, strong, you know.
Scrappy.
Big horse. But he moves like him, but he's a lighter version of him. But he's just, his mechanics, his athleticism, he just glides over the ground, and he's got a huge stride. And the further he goes,
the more.
Just, you can see that he just drops his head.
That's what was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
He passes the 16th pole. He got, you know, he gets to the lead. He leaves Mucho Gusto behind, and then in the last 200 yards is when he really started to run. That's what was just eye popping about that.
He just cut another gear and like Talamo Mucho Gusto. He was getting a little, but Talamo said, you know, he was running. He says, I thought I had him because at the top, coming into the quarter pole there, he looked like he was. Faltering a little bit. I noticed that and he did that at Churchill Downs, like he came around there like he wasn't running, then all of a sudden he straightened out, he took off. You know, he doesn't run the turns real well.
I was going to ask if, is that a part of it, but usually a smaller horse a little more agile,
you would think, but for some reason, but then when he straightens out, boy, he just let it rip. And and that Mucho Gusto, he was running and he just took off like that. So that's pretty impressive. But you know, Mastery, he did the same when I ran him there. He hit the top of the stretch, and he just stalled a little bit. And I thought, wow, maybe he doesn't want to go that far.
One thing, Improbable got a heck of a lot of education out of that Churchill race because he didn't break that well. And then
he's always drawn poorly. He's always been on the inside of all his races.
You've talked about Van Dyke and how the guy doesn't panic. And I'm telling you, if you go back and watch what Van Dyke does in that street sense on Improbable, that first, you know, going down the backside, I mean, the kid, I mean, he was lucky to maybe not clip heels somewhere if he panics or something. And he was, how he negotiated through all that traffic was that kid has really come a long way.
Well, I mean, that was, you know, I put him on that horse and I said, left him on there. This is going to be a good, it was a good schooling for both of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a young horse, young rider. You're under, it's Breeders' Cup Day. All eyes on you, your heavy favorite. Now, let's see what, you know, how you can manage it. And you know what? I didn't say a word to him in the paddock. I said, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I see if you can figure this out on your own, you know, because that's what you have to, as a good, it's like a good quarterback. You don't need the coach sending you every play in. Like last night, the Rams coach sending every play. You can't do that, you know? You gotta let them
make some calls.
They gotta make the judgment call. So, I think it was good for him, and being that he broke Justify's maiden, and then I put Mike on him. I told him, you know what, I'm just gonna, Mike, you know, gonna ride this horse, and you know, your day will come. You know, just keep working hard, and he handled it well. He got him ready, kept him going. He kept, you know, he's a good kid, and but he's smart. He wants to be better. He wants to be number one. He's like the Bobby Aidner thing. He wants to be the best.
There you go.
And that's what you need.
The interesting portion for him, and this is not to take away from the education that any other rider from any part of the world, I don't care where, the education that he got on the shed row, grooming, and you know, hot walking, and everything that first, you know, Jimmy Baker had him even before Proctor did. And, I mean, he got that old-school, ground-up education. And he knows how to talk to owners and to listen. And you have him on for an interview and respectful and polite. And he's just the package, this kid.
He can be a little shy, but he's a funny little kid. But he's a great little athlete. I think Proctor really, you know, he gave him the tough love, which mm-hmm. he brought him up the right way. You know, the old school, mm-hmm. learn the horse, get to know the horse, and so now he knows the animals. He knows what work goes in, you know, the grooms, everybody. He knows how much time and effort goes into it. So when he gets on there, you know, he wants to make sure he's happy for the groom and you know, for everybody. But he's great to work with. He's learning. And he was willing to work hard and do well. So now it's, you know, but like I told him, he says, you know, you're riding good horses, so it's going to be easier when you're riding, you know, better horses. Mm. But there's going to be times where the great riders, sometimes you got to make things happen. It's not going to happen every time.
It's not automatic.
You're going to have to do a judgment call. And he's had one of the best guys ever teach him, and that's Mike Smith. I mean, Mike has been his... You know, he tells him when he does something wrong, and other riders in the room like Gary Stevens, they help him. They don't mind helping him because he wants to, you know, because he's not one that will beat him and say, hey, you know, he's not cocky, anything like that. Which it's okay to be a little cocky, you
sure.
know, he's just very down to earth, and you know, he's all business.
On this horse, on Improbable, I was talking, in fact, with John's wife, with Tracy, on Saturday, and it took me a minute to think about City Zips and collected City Zip. He's the biggest right. earner of City Zip's progeny. How much of the experience with collected has helped you figure this horse out, or is there any correlation at all?
No, they're different types of horses, but they're... You know, they're light on their feet, they're fast, have a lot of speed. This horse, though, he seems a little bit more manageable.
Collected was a handful?
Collected was, I mean, he beat Arrogate, you know.
Well, the one thing that Collected has proven, and it's important when we look ahead to next year, and the Derby, the Kentucky Derby, a mile and a quarter was no problem at all for Collected. So, I mean, and being a City Zip. And the other thing about Improbable, he's out of an AP Indy mare.
That's the...
So you've got the stamina. It's like Secretariat. Yeah. People focused on the Bold Ruler, but he was out of a Prince Quillo mare. And that oftentimes is...
This is where John White comes in. I don't care who they're by. I just hope they can run. Right? But then John dissects, you know, and then I read his stuff. I go, well, maybe I have a shot because, you know, most City Zips are known to be their sprinters on the turf.
Mile.
It's just like when they sent me a Scat Daddy, I go, sprinter on the turf. Why did they send me a Scat Daddy? And then I saw him. I go, wow, man, look at that thing. And it was like, he looked like a rope horse. I mean, the big, beautiful. I mean, justifies the most beautiful specimen of an animal you'll ever see on a horse. I mean, he was like, he's the most beautiful horse ever trained, you know.
Well, after Preakness Sunday morning, and you brought Jay Pribman into the stall, and you were going over him with him, and you just, you talked about all the points of him. And you could tell you were in awe of, and he really is a chiseled, you know.
His presence. I used to bring him out here, and people ask me, "Who's that?" I mean, you could just tell. He'd come out, and you'd say, "Wow, who is that?" Everybody knew who he was. I mean, he had that kind of, you know.
Well, in that respect, he was Secretariat-like, because that was the same thing with Secretariat, a grand-looking chestnut, you know, that just seduced your eye. Secretariat would seduce your eye, and Justify would seduce your eye. I mean, like you say, people would just go, wow, without even knowing who he was. Who is that?
Yeah. No, but they're...
But like you say, then he had the mechanics to go with the looks. And that's the thing about Justify, which he showed in his first race. I can still see him at the top of the lane in that first race. And that's another one where you go, wow, who is this? I mean,
I really think I've had two horses, American Pharoah and Justify, that on Belmont Day, they could have won every undercard race. He could have won the sprint, the mile, and,
wow,
a mile and a half. That's how good those horses are. And it's hard to... fan that, you know, think that, but that's how good, you know, Mike Smith, he's ridden all these good horses.
It's true.
And he says he could not believe that he could ride a horse faster than Holy Bull, or, you know, those just unbelievable. And his Kentucky Derby was probably the most, that was his best race, because he was hooking with a serious sprinter. It wasn't cheap speed. When I saw 22, 45, and I'm thinking Bodie Meister all over. There's nothing left. Kid Magic is sitting in the perfect spot. He's gonna, and I'm already thinking, all right, it's gonna unravel, and then when he just found another gear that we didn't know he had, it was just, and he took off like wow. I was really like, man, what a. And I knew right there this.
We got something special.
I'm gonna have to really mess it up for this Triple Crown. I better be smart here.
Well, and since we'll circle back to chasing yesterday in a second, but since we're on the boys' side, and since Justify is come up, to my thinking, the Preakness was really the performance in a different manner, where there was the real gut check, where, you know, he's basically shoulder to shoulder with the horse that came closest, really, to beating him. In good Magic, and he runs him down and runs him.
That's a race where he showed that, you know, what's he going to do when he gets hooked?
Exactly.
And you know, we missed that time. He had the bruise in the back, the hind foot. You remember the
footgate.
Footgate, right? Every time I brought him out, I was trying to show. That's what I get for trying to show my horse off. So I didn't, and it was wet. I couldn't do much with him. So, and I told Mike, you're going to have to, you know, that's where Mike Smith is going to have to. But when he broke, and we thought the one horse, the other was Windsor horse, was going to be in the lead. He was just going to sit off of him. And then when he looked down there, he saw it was Good Magic. So he said, all right, go ahead if you want to engages, and I couldn't blame them. They took it to us, you know. So he just got his horse down because he didn't want to get hooked. But Ortiz just kept following him out. And I didn't know what was going on because it was so foggy. We didn't know.
Nope.
And so down the backside, Mike says, I'm about in the eighth path, and he's still pushing me out. So they get to the half mile, and Mike figured out there, I know what he's doing. He wants to push me to the 12, and then he's just going to cut the corner on me.
Yep.
So Mike just said, and I don't want to, you know, bump him. So he said, well, game on. So he just took off with him at the half mile, and they turned it into their own little match race from the half mile. And then he put him away, and then with the fog, he was, you know, coming down through there. And then I kept telling him, now, don't win by a lot. Now, always, you know, save something
that
for
doesn't
the next
work.
One. So I didn't know he was saving him a little bit because he thought he had them all. He didn't see Bravazo coming that late.
Or Tenfold. If Tenfold had not had trouble.
It was Tenfold, yeah, whatever.
Bravazo. Both
they
Bravazo,
were coming, but he says, I knew I had him at bay. He says, I felt them. And then but as soon as Bravazo got to him, he said he took off again. He said, but he didn't know. He cut a little close. He wouldn't know that close, but I am watching it like you guys, and I'm thinking, well, he won, but that didn't look like a Triple Crown.
That's what you said to me on Monday. You were dubious.
So, but then when I went and talked to Mike, he goes, oh, no, I had a lot more. Really? And then I felt better about it. But then when I got back to the barn, he was like, he came back after that race. He was like full of himself.
But here's the key is it's Mike Smith saying I had a little bit more. There's a lot of guys that might say that, and they're just, you know, kind of smoking their socks to say it. But this guy knows.
He knew.
He knows, and he's, you know,
he was
the
right.
First thing I told him when he came back, well, it was fun, Mike, but it looks like looks like we've got to the bottom of them.
Yeah.
He goes, no. And then he told me all what went on, and so I didn't know.
Nice.
And I didn't know that Ortiz had, you know, was trying to, you know, ride a little bit, you know, pushing, shoving. But you just race riding.
Was that in all the races, big races you've been involved in a lot of ways? I mean, that was the most surreal. The atmosphere was really like nothing. I mean, there's been days where I've been at the track and it's been hazy and foggy and difficult, especially in New York. But that was so eerie, basically.
Oh, how about the Pharaohs freaking?
Yeah,
with the rain,
downpour.
The
downpour.
Yeah,
that was crazy too.
Yes, it was.
I was in the one hole, the rail.
Yep.
Then that horse leaves there. I don't put him in the lead. He goes 22 on that heavy track, and my wife, I'll never forget. He's going too fast. He went 22. He's going too fast. And I look up at him and says, he doesn't look like he's going very fast. He had those ears up. You know, that's one thing I can't tell you. I can't sit here and tell you who is faster, him or Justify. They were both just superior animals. You know, they just,
well, you have to be to win the Triple Crown.
Yeah, you have to be so superior.
Look at all the tremendous equine athletes that won two of the three. And we're talking, yeah, you've had a number of them, yeah, yourself. But the point given, Silver Charm, Royal Quiet, right on down, Smarty Jones. I mean, we're not talking
about Arrogate.
Arrogate.
When he finally came around, I mean, his race in the, when he ran down California Chrome here, I mean, California Chrome, you know, he's one of the, he'll be one of the all time greats. I mean, he was a great horse. And to do what he did, and still never was horse of the year.
But you know,
what else are you going to do, right?
Well, the thing about Arrogate was he got kind of screwed by the calendar, I thought, because he was the horse of the second half of the year when he was a 3-year-old, and he was the horse of the year the first half of the year when he was a 4-year-old. But that's that year.
If he would have made that speech the year before, we would have had a shot. You see, I wish you would have come with that speech about the clothing deal, whatever. You know, it's water under the bridge. But you know what? I feel so fortunate that I've been spoiled by these, you know, blessed by these good horses. And, you know, we got some good horses. Like, Jill went through the barn the other day, says, hey, the barn looks a little weak, Bob. There's only one millionaire in the barn.
Like,
that's
cow.
True. We'll get that.
Taken care of. Boy, well, she must be tough in the jewelry section.
Yeah, there's only 1 million. We got a millionaire. And Bodie says, Dad, you don't have one millionaire in Millionaire's Row. They're all in the south. Millionaire's Row on the other side. We got
Holy
Game
cow.
Winners. The only millionaire in there.
You've got one of the strongest hands of 2-year-olds turning three I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I, you know, it's early yet, though. You know,
but I'm saying,
I think a lot of guys will start coming with. There's horses coming up.
Let's do this because we're going to
might be a Justify out there. You don't know.
Well, it might be Coliseum. We'll get to that in a second. Let's wrap up from Saturday, and then we'll talk about the opening of the meet and the Malibu. Solomini looks like he's ready for a good season.
Yeah, Solomini's coming off. He's doing really well. He's not. Been training pretty well, not so erratic as he was before. I think the freshening helped him. We got McKenzie, shoring him back. He looks fantastic. He's really, he wasn't ready for the Breeders' Cup Classic, and I should have run him in the mile. I was just trying to, you know, the Classic didn't seem like it was that, you know, strong of a, you know, like, you know, like, you know, you know, there was not like a heavy duty cast in there, and I thought maybe he'd get a piece of it, but. But it was too much for him after that, because I really had to rush him to get him ready for the Pennsylvania Derby, that deep track there.
Yeah.
But
and a 107 buyer in that.
Yeah,
that
big effort.
And they went really fast early in the church. Yeah. You know, they all went up there.
We'll do this in a second. Let me ask how you expect with Improbable. You've had, it's only Monday, obviously, so it's only 48 hours. But what kind of a, in your mind,
I don't. You'll just wait.
All right. All right. Then let's talk about Jane Lyon and her. She was so excited, Bob. She was so nervous pre-race.
She gets very nervous. She really. My wife's the same way. She loves. She wants to save every animal, every horse in the world, and loves her horses, and just has this passion for it. And she's when they foal, she wants to be right there.
Yeah,
she wants to get her hands in there, and she just loves it. So they're like her children. So when they go out there to perform, you know, she looks at it a different way. I'm trying to. You know, I got other horses in there, and so, but she was so excited, and I didn't realize that was her first Grade One win as an owner,
right?
As, you know, owning a horse, and but you know, she hasn't run that many. I mean, she's just she's in the selling. You know, when she got involved in it,
you have had, and I'm curious. She's going to join me later this week for a visit, and we're going to talk about her philosophy and her approach and her broodmare band, but. It's pretty remarkable. I mean, that you've got Game Winner and McKenzie in the barn that were summer wins. And is it a question of you know, following a breeder, or is it just coincidence to some degree?
You know what? She does her homework. Because I met her through, I had McKenzie, and I called her up trying to buy the mare. It was an old mare. She was like 17 or hadn't really had anything, and she gave $2.1 million for her, and I knew McKenzie could run, so I called her up and said, I want to just be interested in selling that mare, and she was open, they didn't breed her and all that, and I got all these breeding, the full share. I was trying to steal her from her, you know. And I offered her $20,000. She says, I might be blonde, but I'm not. I said, but she doesn't sell her mare. She keeps them, and they'll live out their lives there. I mean, that's the kind of person she is. But, yeah, I was trying to steal her mare from her. That's how I got to know her. He says, I heard he's got a really good horse out there named McKenzie. Said, well, yeah, I happen to train a horse. She goes, I know. She says, I know you're trying to steal my horse, you know, but she was funny. We laugh about it now.
That's great.
That is great.
I was going to breed her to American Pharoah. I was going to, I had these, I thought, and then we were going to do a foal share, but then the mare had something wrong. She couldn't breed her again or something happened. So she, so I'm glad she didn't take the 20.
Regarding chasing yesterday's big brother, they couldn't be more different. This is a one-paced type. She just grinds it out, and it feels like as we get to a mile and an eighth, she's only going to get better as the distances stretch out.
Yeah, I see that a lot with her. You know, she's just getting better and better. You know, and she's rateable. And that's the whole key.
This is obviously, this is a huge win no matter what happens going forward. But we watched her come down the stretch. And at first it looked like Mother was going to do what she looked just like Mucho Gusto had looked, like she was going to gut it out. And the O'Neill filly came charging.
Yeah, I didn't know. Mike Smith had worked that the O'Neill, and he loved that O'Neill horse.
The Senya A-Rob.
Yeah. So I didn't know anything about it, but wow. That was pretty impressive.
Well, you sweep the Grade Ones and a couple more belt buckles.
That's right. I got Los Al belt buckles.
You have to get one of those. You have to get the surfboard. You have to get a Zuma Beach or a surfboard.
I already
girl.
Got a surfboard.
You did get a surfboard?
Del Mar gave me a surfboard for winning the most races ever there.
That's not like getting a Zuma Beach.
The reason they did it because they. Somebody forgot that I'd won it, and I happened to be looking at the. I was looking at a media book. Every year at Del Mar, I get a media guide book. They give it to you when I go to a TOC meeting, and I take it home with me, and I put it in the bathroom. So once I go through there, and I happened to be going through there. I says, "I wonder what the record is for most wins." I goes,
Yeah, I think I did. I already passed that. So I let somebody know about it. I go, oops.
That's funny.
So they gave me a surfboard.
By the way,
that's hysterical.
Steve, you were talking earlier about Bob and how we're seeing so many now of the current horses that when you look at their pedigrees, you see the Baffert influence. And you're talking about Anaya Al Rab, who's by Uncle Mo by Indian Charlie.
Sure, listen.
That's when you know you're getting old.
Well, did you see the South American, the classic?
Point determined.
Two winners. Including,
I didn't even know where he was. He's in Mexico. We found him.
To send a mare to him.
Point determined. He was. That was the last horse I bought for Bob Lewis. I ran in the Derby. I think he ran third here, or second or third in the San Anita Derby. He was just a grinder kind of a horse, but... That was pretty, it actually was, you're watching those people, they were really getting into it. That was pretty, that's a great idea.
It is. It's nice that they brought it to the U.S. And Gulfstream's perfect because you've got proximity.
They should open it up to the Argentine horses because I had an Argentine horse I'd like to have gone up there. It would have been good.
You have to.
It's got to be Mexico.
It's all the Panama and exactly, and the Chile and the whole circuit. They're that horse of Art Sherman that Art had, Michigas, went to Puerto Rico and won, and then he came back and he won easy. He's nice.
Got to pay attention to those horses.
Exactly. Couple of notes. Here's the list of the 2-year olds.
That's too many horses.
Well, just go through and
we'll be
and,
here for another hour. Well, I gotta get the train in here.
You got you only have a minute and a half. So
we got Game Winner. We got Improbable. Roaster just worked today. He's coming back really. We'll call him the TMZ horse that I released early. They just jinxed him. We've got Coliseum.
When are we going to see him first?
I think we're going to. I might run him in the. There's a race January 5th, I believe. The Sham.
Okay.
Maybe there.
All right.
Be a spot for him there. There's no allowance races here. You have to go in stakes here because.
Magic on tap.
Magic on tap. He had a little setback. He's a little bit. We had set him back for about 30 days.
Tail of the Union.
He just got. He came into training. He's running. He's a little bit behind. He just started training again.
That's pretty good for a weak barn that I've been told.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard that you have.
What about?
She said it was looks very light.
Light for a light
weak,
barn.
Not weak. It's light.
Yeah, for your
a little
light,
light.
For your light barn.
Looks a little light.
Yeah, for your light
she
barn.
She said we have more pony horses in there. We have good races.
That Kahira that
that's
won.
Nice. She's a nice filly. You know what? I think she's. I loved her win. And she looks like she's going to go long.
Dream.
Mother, I thought she would. I don't know. She's a June foal. She got real big and gangly on me, so she needs to work into that. But I think
Dream
she
Tree?
Might be a one turn type
Dream
of
Tree.
Mile. Dream Tree's coming back really well. I've got her for the La Brea. We're getting her going. She's looking good. I've got a horse called Embolden for the La Brea that. Looked impressive. Then she had a setback. She's back. We're getting her ready for it. And we've got
Marley's Freedom.
Marley's Freedom.
That was a nice performance, by the way.
She ran. She's gutted. She's a good mare. It's too bad she didn't win the Breeders' Cup. That filly and mare sprint. That's the one that got away. But you got to have the trip and those big days. Everything's got to go right. Sometimes it happens.
Well, they go right more
just like
than
Jane.
They go wrong.
I told her about chasing yesterday. So far, other than the Saratoga race,
which was a lot to ask to ship
a lot
her.
To ask, and I had those other fillies. I was trying. I thought, she's been the favorite. I think in every race she's run in, but it was, to win that. It was that to me. Those the good ones. They find a way to get there. They just find a way to get there.
Well, she that was hard fought and well earned. And Bob. Merry Christmas to you and Jill Bodie and the far-flung family and the barn and everybody. Congratulations. We will talk to you.
And thank you for putting the word out there and keeping racing. A lot of people actually listen to your show.
Thank you. They're waiting for you to come on. 11:30 on Mondays. They know that you're going to be on.
I'll be on there. But, it's a lot of, that's good that you work hard at it. You have a passion for the sport. And let's just keep these horses, have a happy new year, and keep all these horses healthy. And
that's all I can do.
And get ready. Get ready for the great race place. Well, best place.
And best of luck for the season. And we will come to you tomorrow from home in New York. I'll head to Burbank. I'm flying out of Burbank. And I want to thank Santa Anita and Los Al, John for coming out this morning, and Bob, Neil Drysdale, and Johnny, and Dallas Stewart as well. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.